This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. We are very much live on FUBAR Radio. And as one lovely guy goes, another joins us. We have got Charlie from the brand new series of Too Hot to Handle. How are you doing, Chaz?
Well, right now I'm actually blushing because that was such a kind introduction.
You're very welcome, mate. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Nah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How is everything going for you? So there's only been 4 episodes out so far because Netflix do it in chunks, don't they?
Yeah.
Which I think is a really good idea. I mean, I do love to binge a whole thing, but I kind of like when you can only binge so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise you end up, you smash the granny out of it and then you kind of wish there was more episodes.
Yeah.
How is the public and the reaction and social media?
To be honest, like, I've had nothing but love since the show started airing. Mm. I mean, you know, obviously, I come on the screen, everyone just starts going, Charlie, we love you, you know.
They're only human, aren't they?
They're only human. No, I'm joking. But it's been really good and I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, like you say, like, it is nice having the batches come out at different times and having the time as well since the show just to, like, you know, breathe and then it all sort of come back. It's, you know, it's a different experience than what Blade would have experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like being on the show then?
I mean, I had a great time. I don't know if you guys have watched the episodes yet, but
same bits.
I definitely had a good time on the first day. It's fair to say.
What happened on the first day? I missed that.
I would say that the majority of their girls had their fun with me on the first. Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Oh, okay.
Lucky
girls. Yeah, that's the energy I need. Thank you.
I know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. But no, I had a really good time in there. I really enjoyed the experience, like, throughout the entire thing, like, genuinely. And the great thing about Tilt Handle is that it's not about going in and finding, like, your person. It's about going in as a person who, you know, we all held our hands up at the start and we were like, okay, we got something wrong with us. We're kind of like about getting with loads of girls and whatever. And it's all about a personal journey and growing through that. So, like, that's what for me was really good about the process. Nothing felt forced, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is nice.
That is nice.
This is the first series because obviously over the years I've interviewed a lot of you guys that have done the show. You're the first from this series. It's always been kept secret. It's always been on the DL. But as years have gone by, I'm a little bit like, I wonder, and I do say to guys, was there ever a part of you, because it's advertised or you're approaching a brand new dating show, and I was like, did it ever enter your head that it could be Too Hot to Handle? And what I've noticed is that as years have gone on, I think the last one or two, a couple of people was like, we did start to suspect. This year, I love what they've done is they've been just upfront about it. Yeah. This is what the show is. And I think it's so refreshing. There's a few little changes this series, isn't there?
Well, I'm sure that people were kind of like starting to call Lana's bluff.
They were clocking out.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they were starting to call Lana's bluff. But what I, you know, really liked was that when I was told, okay, we're open casting for Tilt to Handle, I was like, right, well, for my first reality show, let's do a complete format switch. Let's go for the big one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Where they're changing everything. Because that's the one that's calling Charlie Jeers, Dave. You know?
Yeah. he ain't now, fucking
like,
about.
No, nah, he's not fucking about. But now, like, I went there and, you know, throughout the whole process, I was very open with the fact that, yeah, cool, I might be a bit promiscuous, whatever. And you go on there and then all of a sudden, you're not confronted with the white cone you're expected. You're told you can do whatever you want. So poor old me is sat there and I'm like, right, these are cool, my bluff. I've got to go for it now. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I definitely went for it at the start.
So you said that you leaned into the experience, basically, by, you know, kissing and a lot of the girls. If we had to play a simple game, shag, marry, avoid.
Oh, God.
Who would you pick? God.
You know what? I think Lana would be very angry with me if I answered that question right now because there's still episodes to come and you guys haven't seen anything. So if I answer that question in my position right now, I'm afraid it might ruin what's about
to
happen.
Can we just say shag then?
All of them.
I love it.
Yeah, we can hold our hands up to that.
Charlie boy, have you always been tempted by the reality TV bug?
You know, I actually had Love Island and Big Brother reach out to me in the past. I've had Celebs Go Dating reach out to me in the past. I mean, I've made videos on TikTok for years. And so, like, you kind of, you put yourself out there for that kind of attention. In the past, none of them, like, I ended up going on. Love Island, I was still, like, finishing uni at the time, studying economics. And then with Big Brother, you know, they just kind of didn't want me. But Too Hot to Handle was the right show for me. And so I'm really happy that, like, I did go on it. And, you know, you can't regret anything in life. I'm really happy where I am now. So I'm glad I did it.
Did you go into the show with any kind of game plan? Like, obviously, you knew it was, they was upfront about it. They was like, this is what the show was going to be. So you've got the knowledge of knowing what the game is. Do you know what I mean? You know the coup when you're rocking up. You'd be like, this is what it is. Did you think, I'm going to play it this way? And if you did have a game plan, did it turn out? Because a lot of people, it never really works out as you think it's going to be on reality TV.
It's true. I did have a game plan, if I'm completely honest. I had the exact same game plan that I walk into every nightclub with. Get as many girls as you possibly can.
I love the honesty.
I'm just messing about, honestly.
No, you ain't.
You got a fan in it. But I went in with the energy of like, yeah, cool. I'm going to go in and, you know, do exactly what I would do if I was on a night out and there was all these beautiful girls. I'm going to try and pull a couple. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what you're going to do on a dating show. Yeah. You're going to try before you buy. Yeah. And that is, that's what I went for.
Cool. Well, it ain't Antiques Roadshow. Do you know what I mean?
It's not. It's too hard to handle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. You know what you signed up for. But also, you went in on the first day and you were just chaotic, breaking all the rules. Did you plan to go in there and break all the rules? Or
well, I actually wasn't breaking all the rules, right? Because we were allowed to do whatever we wanted. I am one of those people who, like, when I've gone on dates or like when I've been talking to girls in the past and stuff, I'm not really one to like splash out loads of cash. I used to work as a security guard earning like £12 an hour standing on the door of McDonald's, you know what I mean? So I do like appreciate money.
Yeah. Mackie D's have security now.
Yeah, and I used to be that guy.
I never knew that. What are people on the Rob of the Nuggets? What's the
like, honestly, I saw it all working as a McDonald's security guard. I had glass bottles thrown at me. I stopped underage boys from being spiked before.
Fucking in Mackie D's.
Literally, you couldn't imagine the things that I've seen working as a bouncer at McDonald's.
Fuck a duck.
Bouncer in McDonald's.
But
sorry. Let's not go back to too hot to handle. Yeah.
Sidetrack.
I completely forgot what I was saying. you got me talking about McDonald's, and now I'm kind of hungry, to be honest.
You were breaking the rules, but you said there was no rules to be broken.
Yeah, exactly. But, and you know, in that situation, when we were told, okay, you can do whatever you want, and there'll be no financial repercussions or no fines, that's what they said.
Yeah.
That's when I went in there and I was like, right, well, now I can do what I really want to do in here. Do you know what I mean? But obviously it turned out that there was a punishment in the end.
So you're the first contestant to ever be banished temporarily from the show. Were you shocked? Because obviously, like we were saying, because you've seen the show before, because that's never happened, you couldn't see that coming, like, unless you was Mystic Meg.
Genuinely, like, I can remember so clearly, like, them going, they will be banished. And I just thought, oh my God, Charlie. Like, you know, the whole process of Too Hot to Handle is about teaching you not to be a player. And if there was a moment that taught me not to be a player, it was kissing three girls in a day and then getting kicked straight off of your first ever reality show. I was like, right, I'm a good boy from now on. But, you know, I was definitely shocked at the whole, like, banishment situation. I really thought I was going in that moment. And then to, you know, get put in that room and have that experience that I did in there, it was definitely a way to condense the whole period in. And that's why when I went back in after banishment, I did have a very single mind and just go for one girl, because I was like, right, I'm not going to get away with behaving how maybe I would normally behave or I'd want to behave. So let me just conform to what Lana's telling me to do. You know what I mean?
You've got
to
be a good boy.
I've got to be a good boy. Yeah, exactly.
What did your banishment look like? Where were you?
My banishment looked like a room with a bunk bed and a table and chairs. And like, we were made to do things like count paper clips in there, like make elastic bambles. I mean, you didn't see the elastic bambles bit. But what was really good about like the whole banishment experience was I was actually in there with a girl. You know, typically Charlie would have gone mental if he was locked in a room with a girl.
I bet that bunk bed would have been going. If the bunk bed's rocking, we were told,
like, if you break any rules, it's game over now. Like, so, you know, I was actually in that situation able to form a really good friendship with this girl. And that's something, like, she's someone I'm still friends with to this day. And I'm really grateful for, like, that side of it as well.
Right.
So far, we've seen you in the four episodes, you formed a connection with Lucy. And they're all stunning girls, obviously. I'm not sure if you can tell, Charlie. I'm on the other bus.
No, you don't say.
Yeah, are you shocked?
I thought you were looking at me in
He nearly fell off the fucking chair. Out of all them beautiful girls, what was it about Lucy that caught your eye? Because you're a good-looking gay, so I'm sure you kind of, you know.
So you just told me you're into lads, and now you're telling me What's going to happen after this show?
It's like, getting hot in here, guys. I'll leave you to it.
But you know, Lucy is like an amazing girl, and like, and she, when I went in there, like, she was the first person I spoke to. She's half Indian, the same as me. She played the flute. I played a saxophone. She was like a grade 8 singer. Like, she's got so much going for her. Do you know what I mean? And so that's why, like, when I first went in there, I was sort of hearing like tick, 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 all of these things that like I would ask for, like, in a girl when I was going in there. And so, you know, that's kind of what like originally drew me to her straight away.
Love that.
Yeah. So did you actually come out after I know you didn't go in finding love, but did you leave with love?
Why are you trying to get me in trouble? We've seen the first four episodes. You don't want me to ruin it.
Is there a chance that you might have?
Look, what I can say is that I experienced a lot of personal growth whilst I was in there. And I think that that's what the whole process is about. Whether or not I find love is something you're going to have to wait and see, unfortunately.
Tune in,
Before you're being all cheeky trying to get me to...
And that's called clipping.
Is there a WhatsApp group between you all?
We have an Instagram group chat with all of us. My god, it's like the sexiest group chat alive.
What goes down in the group chat?
Like memes, just all of us like laughing around with each other, the odd bicker here and there. Now I'm not going to talk about that. But you know, like, everyone does get on pretty well, and so like it's all just like pretty much positive vibes between all of us.
So everyone's kind of left at least civil.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, we're all pretty, like, mature people. We all went in there like, yo, we have flings and all of that stuff. And so in that kind of situation, like, you can only just sort of be, like, friendly with everyone going out. I mean, me personally, I'm someone who, like, just likes to have good relationships with people in general.
Yeah.
Not really, like, an argumentative type, you know what I mean? Yeah. Working as a bouncer, you got to learn. If someone says something mean to you, you ain't going to hold it. You know what I mean? You're going to just let it go. And so that's the attitude that I try and take. Mm-hmm. As for everyone else... can't speak for them.
has anyone left the group chat? A lot of times I interview people on this show from various shows, not just too hot to handle, and they'll go, oh, within 2 days so-and-so left and we ain't heard from them since. Are you all still in that group chat, or is someone's
I don't think anyone's left the group chat. Like I said, like, we're all like pretty mature people. Yeah. Like, we all get on pretty well and stuff, so you know, I don't, not off my the top of my head, anyone, no one's trying to bite each other's head off or anything like that, you know.
Right. And unless something happens that's really deep, at the end of the day you kind of just have to look at it. It is what it is. It's a TV show. And if you ain't done anyone wrong, do you know what I mean?
It's funny you say it's a TV show, though, because when you're in there, it really doesn't feel like a TV show.
It's your life, isn't it, when you're there?
And that's what's crazy, actually, now, watching it back. Mm. Obviously, like, you know, you have a bit of time to breathe in between filming, and then now, sitting here and watching it back, you're like... oh my god, like, these guys were making entertainment out of me, like, what the hell.
I mean,
I went in there just like with a basic goal. I mean, my friend said to me before, they were like, Charlie, you don't need to go in there and try to be someone, just go in there and be you. And so I was like, right, I'm gonna go in here and just really be myself, which in itself is hard to do, because you're like, yo, who am I, you know what I mean?
But
I went in there just trying to be authentic and true to myself, and you know, now sitting here finally being able to watch it back, I'm glad with the way that I've been like presented so far, and I feel like it is true to myself.
Are your parents watching it with you?
Yeah, my parents are watching it with me. In fact, I have just uploaded a TikTok video of my mum reacting to my first day antics, and so you know, if you want to go check that out, you can go check that out at Charlie Jill on all socials, you know.
What was the general reaction from friends and family when you got the call or the email to say, right, you're going on the show?
Well, I mean, look, the type of person I am, I really don't think people were too surprised by me going on Too Hot to Handle, just because, like, I've always made like content on TikTok and stuff. My friends who are like close to me, they just knew what I was like and stuff like that. And so I do think it aligned very well with my personality. Like I say, like, I mean, I would have enjoyed going on like a different show like Big Brother or Love Island, but actually having done Too Hot to Handle, and I really think like the personal growth aspect of the show is something that I really like identify with, because, you know, I was like a boxer for like the last 10 years. And so like I've always been trying to improve myself, you know what I mean? And so it's kind of all aligned with that sort of stuff. So I don't think anyone was too shocked to hear it from me, but I've definitely had some DMs from people who have like known me in the past, and they're like, what the hell, Charlie? Am I watching you kiss girls on Netflix right now? Or what? Like...
So funny that you should mention DMs, because one of my go-to questions on Access All Areas, I ask, everyone that sits in that chair where you are now. I ask about the DMs and what goes down in them. Like, a lot of girls and guys get them as well, whether they're gay or straight.
I think I saw you in my DMs.
Don't tell anyone.
Here we go. It's all coming out now, Bobby.
It's all coming out. Yeah. What's going down? Because a lot of people, they come from a reality show and they open they get their phones back and they go into their DMs and it's just dick pic galore. Now, as a boxer, I'm sure not many lads out there are brave enough to send you a dick pic. What are yours saying? Is there a lot of girls sending you some naughtiness?
To be honest, like, it's not really much has changed. Like, I always had people in my DMs. Do you know what I mean?
let's not pretend there's anything new going on here. You know what I mean? But like, all jokes aside, though, like, I've definitely been receiving a lot of DMs. But, you know, luckily for me at the moment, it's all just positive vibes. And that's just what I'm trying to run with. But there's no one, like, too notable. Like I say, I mean, it's only the first four episodes that have come out so far. And I feel like when the next few episodes come out and people, you know, can go binge it, like you say you'd like to, I feel like that's when, you know, the show's traction really starts to pick up, and then maybe I might have some more juicy stories to tell you and you might be back next time, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly. So what show, if you could pick any other reality TV show to go on after this, what would it be?
I'm going to give you two answers. Okay. I like the idea of I'm a Celeb. I think that looks like just so fun.
Yes.
And I love the idea of SAS Who Dares Wins.
Oh.
Like, get me on Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins. I would love to. I mean, like, I'm calling myself a celebrity. Who do I think I am? But, you know, I'd love to go on that because it's like a proper challenge. Yeah. And for me, like, I just love to get my teeth into a challenge. If you can turn something into a challenge for me, then I'm all over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think would be the hardest thing for you personally? If you was to do Celebrity SAS, what would you find the hardest? Do you have any fears or phobias?
Do I have any fears or phobias? I can't really think of anything that really scares me too much off the top of my head, other than just letting myself down. Do you know what I mean?
For someone who stands in the ring and knocks seven bells of shit out of someone, I'm sure not much is going to get high bother you.
You think they're making seven bells?
Height's a thing for you, or are you fine with heights?
That's a good point. I'm not the biggest fan of heights, not the biggest fan of insects and all of that stuff. So, like, I'm sure you'd have some fun watching me scream whilst there's some, like, ants in the pants. I'm sure you would have some fun watching me scream whilst there's some ants in my pants.
Watching you with ants in your pants.
Yeah. And taking them off, chucking them off. Radio show, come on.
Maybe I'll have to sign up for the same series as you, Charlie.
Know.
Oh my God. You should.
That would be some good entertainment.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So they'd be your go-to. If I was your agent and I said, right, you've been offered both Jungle and Celeb SAS, what one would you pick? Put your balls on the table, Charlie?
I think I would probably go for the Jungle, just because I feel like in there, you know, even though I love the challenge that SAS seems to present, the Jungle is like, it's probably a bit more chilled. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like, but spiders and eating donkey bollocks that's a good point. All this, like...
You know what? It's actually a really hard question. I've never thought about it, but I would just love to do both, to be honest. Yeah. But I'm like someone who, like, you can chuck me into anything and I'm going to have a good time giving it a go. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the vibe that I'm just bringing to life at the moment.
Absolutely. Charlie, thank you so much for coming into the studio. I can't wait to see the rest of the series. I think it's shaping up already,
I've got a song coming out as well, so you can wait to hear that too.
Oh, what's it called?
I can't tell you the name yet. It's, you know what I mean? There's a bit of mystery, but early August I'll be releasing my first song because I played a saxophone. So
happy days. Yeah. One of my favourite instruments. Always reminds me of like an Ibiza beach club. Love the sax.
Yeah, love the sax as well.
What? Strawberry daiquiri in one end.
Sax on the beach.
Fun fact though, when I play it, they call it the sexy phone. So
I'll do that.
It gets even better when I play it. You know what I mean?
You should have brought it into the studio.
Oh, honestly, it is my biggest weapon. It's my biggest weapon.
I'm not sure.
Guys, attention!
This is flirtation,
Charlie. Thank you so much, lad. As I say, excited to see the rest of the series. I think you're definitely going to be a character.
Thanks for having me.
You're bringing a lot to the table. You're very welcome.
What the hell with Gabby Allen?
Three words to describe yourself:
weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuck boy, like, laugh. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio, and we've just had the model walking. Antigone, you are stunning. She's giving mermaid.
Yeah, thank you.
You so always
can't
look.
Take my eyes off her.
We came closer, wouldn't we?
We did. It's like,
you know,
we rang
things like
head.
That make me so happy.
Really?
Like, really?
Yeah, I know. We got a photo.
I didn't get the memo, and it's clearly...
It's okay. That makes, do you know what that means? That makes you Beyonce in our trio today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. We're the backing dancers.
Yeah. I'll take
so
that. I'll take
that.
I love that. It's so lovely to see you. I've not seen you for a little while.
I know. It's been age. I haven't been in London. I've literally been in. I've been living in Athens for the last year, so I just got back.
I love a bit of grace. You're a busy girl nowadays, aren't you? There's so much I want to ask you, but obviously I've got to start with, because it's how so many of our listeners and followers originally got to know you on our screens from Love Island. Have you been watching this season, or I'm guessing not. If you're in Athens,
do you know what? I actually haven't, but you can't avoid it. Like, because I obviously follow Love Island on Instagram, I see every day the highlights and the teasers, and you kind of get, so I kind of know what's going on.
Literally,
so I know a little bit, but I'm not like fully invested.
You're
not,
you got the toe in, but you ain't got the leg in.
It's hard to avoid, really.
You can't,
like, you know all the characters and who's dating who.
I know what's going on. I know that. AO kind of shut things off with Mimi.
There
is
you go.
Right? You see?
How do you find, from what you see on social alone, obviously, how do you feel when content pops up on Love Island? Is it fond memories?
Yeah,
is it triggering?
Totally. No, totally. You know, and I'm like, I'll always be cool to talk about it and whatever. I feel like, you know, you sign up to the show, it's going to always be part of the story, and I'm good with that. And it's like definitely fond memories. It was a crazy time.
Yeah,
I really like, I enjoyed my experience and like what everything that came after it. So yeah, I'm good with it.
Did you feel cheated at all? Because you were only in there for 8 days, was it?
Yeah, do you know what though? I believe in the universe, and I think that someone up there was looking out for me, and that was what my story was meant to be.
Yeah.
I feel like I was lucky enough that I was portrayed as myself for the most part. I felt like I got like a kind of honest kind of show of that. And you know, it worked out well for me. I mean, I'll be honest, when I first like left and it was only like a week, I thought this is a disaster. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Ordinarily.
Because the whole process you go through in the lift, I think a lot of people just think you rock up, jump on your EasyJet, get there.
Definitely.
There's a whole build up to getting cast and getting on there.
No, and you know, normally it's just not a good sign if you leave so early, but like, thankfully I came back to so much love and like, most people felt like I'd been cheated. But it still blows my mind how many people watch the show. And like, I've just been in Greece, like I said, I was in Mykonos and there's loads of Americans. And the amount of people that come, they're like, oh my God, you're Antigone from Love Island. I'm like, why do you guys watch this? People from like Lebanon, from like Saudi, like the most crazy places all do it. And like, they tend to know me because it's like the Middle Eastern connection, because I'm from Cyprus, obviously. So I'm not mad at the way it went, because I'm happy. And
it's all worked out well.
My husband wasn't in there anyway, so I didn't waste any more time.
So why waste any more outfits? You don't, your 8 days.
And I landed back in London on Gay Pride, which is like my favourite day of the year in London, with my mum and sister. So I came back to such a fun day. It was 2 years ago now, but like, it was great.
Oh my God. I absolutely love that. So I wanted to ask you, babe, you've got fond memories, which is amazing. Mm. If the phone rang now, hopefully it won't during the interview, but say it did after.
Put me on silent.
And it will. No, you're all right, babe. Won't kick you out of the studio if it does. But say it's ITV calling and they're like, right, babes, there's a boarding pass. It's just been emailed to you. Get yourself to Stansted. Jump on a flight. We want you to be a bombshell in the morning. What would you say to ITV?
Do you know what? I don't think I'd do it. Like, listen, I never say never, because you don't know in this life. I never thought I would have done Love Island in the first place, honestly. Mm. When I first got the email about it, I literally screenshotted it to my family group chat. I was like, never in a million years.
Oh, my God. So,
you never know, but I don't think so. I don't think so, because I feel like I said, it went really nicely for me. I'm happy with it. Like, I don't want to go and muddy it. And, you know, and I don't think so. I don't think so.
Do you know, as well, your music career started quite young.
Yeah.
So you were signed to a record label at 14?
To a publishing deal. So it was for songwriting.
Right.
Yeah, when I was 14. And then I signed my first record deal. I think I was like 17.
Oh my God.
And then I signed with Island Records and I was 19. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a journey.
Do you think people think then that your single that you have out now, it's called Lie Lie, that is off the back of Love Island? Have people thought that? Or do people know that you were a songwriter and musician before you went in?
I think people know that I was a singer first, because I think even when I went on the show, I was like, I'm a singer.
Yeah.
And if you look at my socials or whatever, it's always been like who I am and what I do. Mm-hmm. So I think, but there's definitely people that like probably speculated that. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing this music thing for a long time.
The
A-Dare
Birch Radio.
It should have been in the Grammys.
Put it out there, babe. Put it out there. Yeah. Just want to come back to you and say, like, when you got the initial email, like, so when Love Island approached you to do it the first time round, did they send another email when they was casting for All Stars? Did they ask if you would do it?
I did get a call. Yeah, I did get a call to see if I was interested. But I at first said, I'll come in for a chat. And then I didn't even end up bothering going, because I just thought, it's not what I want to do.
Right.
It didn't feel right. It's not what I'm after right now, what my soul wants or what I'm chasing. Like, you know, it was such a fun thing to do, but it's not like my story.
So do you think if you was to have accepted All Stars when it was offered, do you think you would have been doing it for the wrong reasons? Like, in terms of, like, you know, some people, and everyone has their own story and their own journey, the most overused word in reality TV.
Yeah.
But some people, and there's no shame in it, some people go on shows for the profile and the clout and stuff. Mm. I think I would just rather be honest and go, you know, if I meet someone lovely, but actually I'd quite like a pretty little thing deal.
I've always said this from the get-go.
Yeah. But like, that's why I think you're so refreshing.
Because I think everybody is lying.
Yeah.
If I say that they're just going on there for love, that doesn't mean that you won't find love. Because they're like, it's actually crazy how many couples are married or have kids or have made it. Like, you can find love on that show for sure. And if my husband was in there, I always say this, then great.
Yeah,
like,
you weren't gonna.
I would have been down for that. But like, anybody who says that they're purely going on there to find love, like, that is not the easiest way to find love.
I know.
It's not the most the chances, like, you're going on there because it's an amazing experience. It's really fun. It's really cool. And who knows what, like, opportunities can come from it. I don't think that that's the wrong reason. I actually think it's like people that, like, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think it's disingenuous to say that you're just going on there for love. It's like all reality TV. You know, you're making a life for yourself. You're figuring out what your story can be and what can come from it, what you can do. Like, why not?
Did you notice a difference? Like you say, obviously music has always been your destiny, and you was doing it well before Love Island came into your life. But you know, some people, especially if they only get to know you from a TV show in particular, do you think you face an even harder time of things stepping into another industry? Because I think I noticed when I started presenting years ago that some people just wanted me to be a reality boy in a reality box. And I was like, we don't like it. And it takes people almost years, honestly, years to see you in a different light. And they're like, no, actually, he's good. He can do that. He's good at that. Yeah. We'll accept that. But I mean, I'll never tell him I said I want a game at White Hart Lane. Or I want to sing a song because people, I ain't Adele. I can.
You can hold a tune.
I can't. I'm tone deaf.
Good karaoke guy.
But I know what I. Not either. I did get to the final of celebrity karaoke, but I think that was a pity vote. But I'm very realistic in what I can do. And I think in life, we all know what we can do. And I think sometimes we should let people step into other fields.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, you look at so many people. Cardi B is one of the biggest artists in the world. She literally has won Grammys and played at the biggest stages in the world. And she started on a reality show, Love and Hip Hop.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for me, I always knew going into the show that I was going to face like the Love Island stigma when it comes to music. I kind of took that on the chin. I knew that was going to be the case, and I definitely have felt that, and I definitely, it's quite frustrating because I think sometimes people doubt my credibility. It's only when they come to a show or they watch put and they go, oh, okay, she's actually good.
Yeah.
And that, but I'm okay with that, you know, like there's something satisfying about, you know, showing people what I can do in the moment. But there's pros and cons to both, you know, like before I went on Love Island, I was literally, you know, I was working side jobs. I was doing like, whether it was like waitressing or whether it was like little open mic nights to get 50 quid. It was like, you know, I wasn't making money as an independent musician because I was independent again. You know, I had money left over from my record deal that with Island that didn't work, and I was using that to like build my music up and fund my career, but it wasn't enough to live on and sustain. And like my parents were looking at me sideways like, girl, you gotta you know. So what Love Island did was give me liberty to make money on social media to continue pursuing my dream. I knew I wasn't going to leave Love Island and overnight be Dua Lipa. Like I knew it wasn't going to be like that simple, but what it's done is given me the freedom and the opportunities to be able to keep doing music and be like financially okay. And I, like I mentioned, I was living in Greece and I was opening up for one of the biggest artists out there. If I didn't turn up in Greece with however many followers I have, I would have never got that opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
So it all works out in a weird way.
It was all part of the plan.
Yeah, but there's pros and cons. I definitely, like, you know it. Like, there's definitely a stigma when you do reality TV, but, you know, who cares?
But you know what? I very much have the mentality, but I'm kind of like this when it comes to Charles or anything. I've got such a thick skin. Like, I'll take it on his chin. And I don't know if this is a really weird thing to say, but it makes me want to prove you 100%. Wrong.
Yeah.
If you tell me I can't do so, I'm like, bollocks.
Watch me do it.
And exactly. I've got to show you that I could do it. So actually, you're spurring me on to be the best version of me. Because if you tell me I can't do it, I'm doing it, boo.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, like you said, you know what you're good at. People want to hear you talk. People want to see you doing what you're doing now. So you do that. Like, and it's the same with music. Like, I like it when I go to like a snooty mic, like, you know, gig or something, and then there's other artists, and then I go on and I do what I do, and I see people go like, kind of the attitude is like, oh yes, that Antigone from Love Island, and then slowly I watch them go
little dance,
fair enough. Cool. And I love that. That's a win. So you know,
we're the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
That's, I mean, amazing. Listen, sometimes it's like, don't be mean.
I don't love comments and stuff.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, I don't, there's definitely times where it's like a little bit disheartening. But you just have to learn to let it bounce off you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're gonna have a career in this industry.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing. You have to be thick skinned.
It's kind of trained you in a way to when you're a big successful musician.
Yeah, and I think I went into the show with quite like a level, I knew who I was and I had a level head and I'd been hustling in this industry for a while, I'd been in this scene a lot. It wasn't like all of a sudden my whole world changed. Actually, it didn't other than the fact that people knew me, my day, like my days didn't change. The people I was mixing with didn't change that much, so it wasn't like such a shock to the system.
You knew the code before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It weren't like you was naive to it. You knew exactly what you had to come out and do it.
Yeah.
What's been like your biggest pinch me moment? Because so many mad things happen. Is opening huge tours for people, being recognised by people from the States or Australia? Because a lot comes from, because you still live your life. You don't ever feel any different yourself. No. You go do these jobs or these TV shows. You're still you.
Yeah.
But then it's almost life changes around you. It's not you that changes.
Yeah. If you've got good people around you and you're in that place, then I guess not. I don't really know what my biggest pinch me moment is. Like, actually, my biggest pinch me moment is when I worked with a songwriter called Diane Warren, who was always like a big influence to me. But this is before Love Island. But that was, and she said to me that she's written songs for everybody. Like, she wrote Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. She wrote She's written songs for Justin Bieber, Beyonce. She's like,
she's one of
the biggest writers in the world. And she said to me, I've written for so many people, but your voice is the voice I hear in my head when I write songs. That's probably my biggest pinch me moment.
Oh my God, that's my biggest pinch me moment.
Just hearing that story.
It was a few years ago now, but yeah, like I'll never forget that.
That's a confidence boost and isn't it?
Is she going to write a song with you at some point?
I recorded a song that she wrote and I love it, but I don't know when I'm going to release it because it doesn't necessarily fit the sound that I'm putting out right now. Right. But, you know, I would love to come full circle and work with her again.
That would be so cool. So are you actually working on an album right now?
I am. I'm working on an EP, which is like a mini album. Right. I just released a single called Lie Lie.
Love it.
And yeah, Lie Lie is kind of just about like the concept of broken trust, in the sense of like, the story is like you want to forgive somebody and you're actually annoyed that they've done this. Like, in the sense of like, you've ruined my peace of mind now. Mm. That's what the song's about. It's about the actually trying to forgive somebody, but being like, when you go out, I'm in bed thinking, I can't rest.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, people say the whole, like, we used a lot of like mirror analogies in the video, in the visualizer and things like that, because it's all like that thing of once a mirror's cracked, you can still see the reflection, you can try and piece it together, but it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's Lie Lie. And then my next single is, I think it's going to come out end of August. We're figuring out the exact date, but it's called Habibi.
Love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite things that I'm putting out. I had the visual in my head for this song before I wrote the song. I was like, I want to write a song to create this visual. So we shot the video for it in Athens a few weeks ago. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's like my whole EP and the whole project is like a combination of Greek and Middle Eastern soundscapes combined with like modern production and the UK sound, and like merging that culture, my culture, together. So I'm really excited for the journey that, like, the musical journey that I'm going to take everyone on with this.
Oh, I can't
Is
wait
it
to hear
quite
it.
Therapeutic and cathartic when being a songwriter? Because I know a lot of people and my friends that have written books, for instance, and I'm guessing it might be similar, might be completely fucking wrong, but writing a song, but putting pen to paper, I think, I mean, obviously we all get our phone out sometimes and write notes on there if we have to. But I'm a list writer, and I have to have a pad and a pen in my bedside table, because my mind, especially at night, the minute it's time to go to bed, I'm in bed, I'm thinking I'm going on Dragon's Den, doing it. You know, I can put the well to rights at night when the lights go out. Do you have this thing when you kind of start writing music? Is it almost a therapy?
It is literally therapy. It is the most, like, cathartic thing, writing a song, especially when I go through something and then I write a song about it, and the closer I get the song to the accurate situation, it's so satisfying. Like I'll give you an example. There was a situation that I had with a guy that I was dating, and he, like, was, I won't swear, but you know. And
can swear here, darling.
And anyway, long story short, he really played the nice guy and then 180'd, you know, and it was like I'd never really been in a situation like that before, and I was so upset about it. And I was in Athens, I was with my manager, who I write a lot with as well, because he's a songwriter too, and I was just talking about the situation, and then he started kind of freestyling on the guitar, and I just like sung out a lot of the song and wrote this song called Trojan Horse. If you know the story of the Trojan horse, it's all about like the enemies hiding, like somebody not showing you who they are. Anyways, it turned out to be one of my favourite songs that I've written. I'm really excited for that to come out on the EP. And it makes it makes any negative situation worth living when I get an amazing song out of it.
Yeah. It's very Taylor Swift, isn't it?
Yeah. She's one of my biggest inspirations since I was young, because, you know, and yeah, like, it is true. If I date you, if I have a little situation, I wrote a song called Nervous that came out last year about a guy that I've literally met like two or three times. Like,
he doesn't.
And you know what? He recently stood in my DMs. Yeah.
He's like, old arsehole's going, you think he's shit, she's got a rat. But you know, I think that karma's a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's always negative. It's not always negative. You know, but yeah.
And like you say, it's almost compensation, especially if you've had a bad relationship or situation. Yeah. If someone does you a little bit wrong, you don't wish them harm in life because that's just negative and there's no need for that. But if I'm going to get a bit of content out of it and write a lovely song that goes on forever...
Right.
Happy days.
Yeah. Right, if it's for the plot and if it's for the art, then it's fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
It really does put like a silver lining on any sort of negative situation, because I'm like, all right, cool, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can turn it around just like that.
Exactly.
I'm kind of jealous of that skill now. Yeah. I start doing that.
I absolutely love it. Mm. So in terms of the next single, you don't know the exact date, but you're thinking around end of August. Love that. Summer bang. Well, say summer, hopefully it comes. I'm still waiting.
No, honestly, like I just said to the producer, like, this, the UK is embarrassing us.
It's
right
embarrassing.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is actually embarrassing. I should have. Really.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And when I was leaving Greece, everyone was like to me, "You're leaving Greece in the summer? What is wrong with you?"
Yeah, I think you've got a little bit of sun back with you today, at least.
A little bit. Yeah, today was actually quite nice. But, yeah. I mean, it's July. It's
That's our summer, ridiculous. Today.
Yeah, we
Them 3.5 hours. Babe, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So lovely to chat with you again. I'll say I've seen you for a little while, but I always love having a chat with you and to come in the studio. I'm so glad life's going well for you.
I'm a big believer.
Good things happen to good people.
Thank you so much. Sure. Next time, we've got to go for some Greek food.
Yes.
Anytime you want.
Love a little Greek food, great men.
We'll go to the real Greek. You know, my mum does the menu at the Real Greek, so she'll be happy if we go and have a bite.
Let's do it.
What the hell with Gabby Allen?
Three words to describe yourself.
Weird, funny, and quirky. I'm a strange guy.
Oh, I love that. That's good. Not many men would say that. Normally they're like, yeah. Strong.
No, that's, you know what? That's what people think I'm going to be. Like, they see, like, the gym and the muscles and the tattoos, and they think I'm going to be, like, this, like, serious, like, fuck boy, like, laugh. You know what I mean? And then they meet me, and I'm like a Jim Carrey. I'm like a muscly Jim Carrey.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search "Don't Get Caught Out".
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing
good.
Amazing.
Still very much honeymoon stage.
Very much so. I don't feel like it's ended. I mean, he's moved in. He moved into my place initially 2 days after our wedding.
Love
so that. It's just we enjoy each other's company. I feel like we never get tired, even if we're just sitting there. It's just his presence is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And so, when you're comfortable with someone, you know, because sometimes you feel you've got to fill the space and the silence. It's nice when you can kind of be on the sofa together, but both doing your own thing.
Yeah.
How's life been for you both since the show's aired? Because it's a crazy old thing, isn't it? Especially to go on a platform as huge as Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty smooth. Like, you know, of course exciting. We've had our exciting moments, but it's been smooth. I think in the experiment, you know, there was always a lot of talk of, well, how are you going to handle situations when you are under stress, when you know, when the challenges do come up, and they haven't happened yet, but when they do, we were confident just in the way that we communicate with each other and the way that we are, that we'll be able to overcome it. And it's just been so nice. Love spending time with Jasmine. You know, well, she's my only friend in London, so I know.
Yeah, that's not true.
It's got to work out, hey, Jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it's honestly been great. It's been great. I couldn't have asked for anything more. So yeah. I'm happy.
I think when it comes to social media, it is very difficult not to read the comments, especially when you get DMs, you know, about disowning my mother and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. People are seeing a very kind of condensed version of you know, what was filmed, and you need to stay true to yourself. Look, you know, to your friends and family for support. And at the end of the day, you know who you truly are. So if you know there's always going to be a negative and positive, right? You're not always going to be loved by everyone. So I think just staying true to yourself and just remaining kind of, you know, grounded is the most important thing when it comes to, you know, receiving the feedback, whether good or bad.
Absolutely. Yeah. Has there been much bad? Because like you say, like social media, I love it. I think a lot of us do. Nowadays, it's such a huge part of our lives, isn't it? And it's like the curiosity killed the cat. You do want to know what people say. And I think it's very important. And you hit the nail on the head. Not everyone in life is going to like you or love you. That's fine. But I think it can cross the line. And then it gets the dark side of social media, where it can be like abuse and death threats. Mm-hmm. I know I've certainly experienced that over the years. And it's so like, no one would come up to you on Oxford Street and say these things, but behind a phone or a tablet, people will fire off all this stuff. Has there been anything that's really crossed a line, in your opinion?
I think my mum has received a lot of kind of backlash from social media, which hasn't been easy, to say the least. You know, I've had quite a lot of messages, you know, regarding my mum and her personality traits that people may think she has. At the end of the day, I feel like, you know, if people are expecting good out of people, we also need to look within ourselves, you know. If you want people to do better, you need to do better too. And it works both ways. I think the most important thing is to identify, and okay, I may have messed up, I may have, you know, spoke to Bobby in a rude way, but being better and learning from it. There's always kind of like, you know, that, you know, pot of gold at the end of the, what's this called, what's the saying,
end of the rainbow,
at the end of the rainbow. Do you know what I mean? There's always a positive to a negative, and it's about when you realize what you've done, all you've got to do is learn from it and move on.
That's growth, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
how
we
learn
in life. We never get to any age where we just know everything and everyone's perfect.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the thing is, Marissa, you know, since then we've come a long way, you know. We're really close, so it's difficult for me to see as well, because I know a lot of it's sort of on my behalf, you know, but I'm just to let people know it's all love now, you know. It's all been forgotten. We've got a great relationship. I know it wasn't coming from, you know, it wasn't personal, it wasn't an attack on my character, because she didn't even know me at the time. So it's just looking out for a daughter, you know. And I can understand that, and I can appreciate that. So she loves her to bits, so she wants the best for her.
They're besties now. So
what would you say, like you touched upon a minute ago, that obviously we see a condensed version, and of course shows have to be edited, otherwise a series would be about nine months long, do you know what I mean? When you're filmed for that many hours a day. How does it feel kind of sitting there? Because obviously it's pre-recorded by the time it then airs and drops and then dropping like the three episodes at a time. I love that they do that because I think a lot of us are just bingers now.
Yeah.
I think I'm like the number one Netflix person. Yeah. It's just, are you still there? Of course I'm still here. Hello. I'm never not here, Netflix.
I've been here.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for them next week. So I know it's just enough that you can get your little daily slice, binge it, you get a few more.
Yeah.
So also you film for all them days, for that whole time, and then it starts to where by the time you start watching it back, how does it feel? Is there anything you're gutted didn't make the cut?
I'm really gutted that they didn't show me meeting Bobby's family, because that went amazing. Yeah. His mum owns a food van, so she was making oat cakes, which is kind of like a specialty in Stoke, and it was just such a wholesome family meet. So it's a shame that it didn't get shown, but at the end of the day, we'll, you know.
There's a lot to fit in, isn't there?
I mean,
you've got six couples, you've got to show a lot of stuff, so we get that you can't, like you say, otherwise it's going to be 9 months long. You've got a lot to fit in, so we can't show everything.
Yeah.
But of course, that would have been nice, because I think it would have brought some balance as well to our family
tense.
Meets.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And is it lovely getting to see everyone else's journey? Like, from sitting there, because now you've kind of got the comfort of everyone being at home and you're all watching it at the same time. Seeing what everyone else has gone through, because everyone's experience, although on the same show, is so different.
So different.
Absolutely.
I think, been lovely.
Yeah, and that was one thing that I was really looking forward to, because we know our journey, we experienced it.
Yeah.
And you see little bits of the other couples, but of course you don't know the ins and outs and what goes on behind closed doors. So it's been so nice to sort of, you know, just pull back the curtain a little bit and have a look inside.
Yeah.
So it's been really good, hasn't it?
And I think, to be honest with you, in the experiment, we made sure that we were just focusing on each other and not having outside noise kind of affect that, because when you're listening to other people's, you know, kind of experiences, it kind of gets into your head a little bit, especially when you're not close to friends and family. So we made sure we were each other's priority, so that, you know, we were staying true to kind of how we felt and not letting the outside feelings or noises come in between us.
Lovely. You've got wise heads on your shoulders. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Guys.
So
wish
much
you the best of luck
with
everything.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so
nice
much.
To meet you.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Hello, guys. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Excited to be sat with you.
Yeah.
Right, so let's talk.
Fine.
First impressions of each other, what were they?
I mean, the first day we had, best day of the day by far. I just couldn't believe it. I came into this, like, pretty sceptical.
I really, in what way?
I just didn't think it would work.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just thought, how can you meet somebody and get to a deep enough level to be in a position to propose?
Yeah,
it's just like my brain thinking. But the first day is incredible with you.
Yeah.
Just like the energy, I could feel it through the wall, the positive, everything I was looking for. You kind of portrayed that in the first day.
Aww. Yeah. And then it stopped. I genuinely feel the same way. I felt a connection. That's how I would describe it. It almost felt, for me, being honest, it felt almost like a little electric. A little.
Yeah,
electric.
That's nice.
Yeah. Which is really weird to think about in that. When you're in a pod and you're going off a voice alone, but it was...
Yeah, I remember, like, thinking, oh, that was interesting. I remember having goosebumps. I thought, oh, that's weird.
You might see something like that.
Yeah.
In a week's time.
So what made you want to reply for the show? Did you think this could work? I know you were saying, like, you didn't think it could. Like, you was interested in kind of the concept and the format.
Yeah.
So what made you kind of go online and apply?
So, yeah, I mean, I was approached to do it, so I don't really...
That's always nice, a little bit of a joke.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't really watch TV. I don't really know the entertainment industry that well, to be honest. It's not really kind of my forte. So then I kind of, like, Googled what the concept was about, and I was like, wow, this is brilliant, because I've struggled with relationships in the past, and I was like, well, if I can get to know somebody on that deeper level, and, like, for who they are, then they're going to be the right person for me, in a way.
Yeah. Definitely. I think for me, it was ultimately, I tried dating apps. So
yeah.
I spent a few years not dating and just being single and intentional. And then when I started using dating apps, I'd never used them in the past. So I was like, whoa. And it just was not great. So I thought, well, let's step out my comfort zone and just see what happens. And a friend and I just applied, and lo and behold,
got the call.
Yeah.
So you've had quite the journey
on
there. How would you sum it all up? Because obviously you pre-recorded the series and the show. Now you get the benefit of sitting at home on the luxury of your sofa and kind of watching a nice edited version of how it all went down.
Right.
How would you sum it all up when you kind of, because you've lived it and you've breathed it, and now you're kind of viewing it?
It's a good question.
That's red
a really
is not
question.
My favourite colour. Let's just put it that way. It's not my favourite colour.
It took me a while.
It's there. Not my favourite colour. That's it.
Well, I heard a good line today. If you look, if you're wearing rose-tinted glasses, even red looks rose-coloured.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, but it's not my favourite colour.
Is there anything that, I mean, obviously the nature of TV shows that you film for so many hours a day, like things have to be cut and edited to make a show, otherwise a show would be 3.5 years long, obviously. Is there anything that hasn't made the final cut that you kind of wish had?
I think for me, yeah, there's a really nice moment where I met Nicole's parents.
Oh.
And, yeah, I had a one-to-one with Nicole's dad. Basically, I asked for, like, the blessing of him and Lulu.
Love that.
And it was never shown. Because for me, I always like to be like, OK, traditional in the aspect, well, I'd like to get approval from your parents before I go ahead and propose. But we weren't... I couldn't do that in this situation, but it's still important for me to communicate that to your dad. Mm. And he gave it. He said, you have my blessing to go ahead and get married, and gave me a big hug. And that was, like, a really important moment for me. Yeah. To get that kind of approval. So, nice. And that wasn't shown as...
Oh, I loved that moment when he told me about it, and my dad did too. I think for me, ultimately, I wish that things I said to Ben about, you know, where I stood with Sam was shown, because I said that off camera, but really what happened with Sam, you know, he lied to Ben about what we, you know, what we experienced physically. So, you know, like... That was a lie. So I just want to state that and make that clear. I wish I wasn't so diplomatic in how I was trying to approach it, just to protect the privacy of our relationship at the time. I wish I was a bit more direct and forthright about what happened.
And last question, guys, and I'll let you go. I know you've got a busy day. Where do you see yourselves in a year's time? Like your relationship and you as a couple?
I just want to enjoy it. For me, I just want to enjoy, like, the travel with him. I want to enjoy building more of a foundation, having fun, seeing things, and then we see from there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we just go from there.
Just kind of go with it. Yeah, I think that we're planning to, like, do a few trips, aren't we?
Mm.
But I think Nicole's been hippie-fied.
Maybe.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time today.